This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander, and that right there is Matt Brown in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin on this Monday morning. What's happening?
I am probably not in the same state of being as Kelly Bidlin about right now. I'm guessing after 3 days of hardcore partying, Kelly's probably not even awake right now.
Matt, he's on assignment. That's how we like to say it. Yeah.
Not even awake right now.
Kelly's in Nashville, Tennessee, enjoying himself. At least that's the last we've heard from him on the show today. And Matt, thank you for being here on the show. Greg Peterson. Greg is MLB Fab 5, his five plays in Major League Baseball today. He's got more, but we'll just limit it to five on the show. You'll have to go to the website, VSiN.com/picks for the rest of them. Wes Reynolds talking Scottie Scheffler off the schneid. Been too long, 7 months since Scheffler had himself a win, and boy, did he do it in grand fashion this past weekend. We'll talk that with Wes and whatever else he's betting these days. Adam Burke, Major League Baseball, college football, and a little later on, Matt, Drew Tabor will join us. He is the founder of something called Ungambled. Which is I'll read it right here from the page. It is a math-backed platform, an educational service founded by him that teaches sports bettors how to systematically extract profit from sportsbook sign-up bonuses and promotions through hedging while avoiding account bans.
I can tell you that profit is good.
What's that?
Profit is good. So yeah, profit's good.
That's right.
There we go.
We're looking forward to that. And then something a little later on also. I don't know when, but apparently I'll vomit it out at some point. I have found out that for 44 years, I have been singing lyric-wise the wrong word in a very popular song, and I am flabbergasted by it. That's a little later on the show.
Wow! I follow. I know you don't do the Instagram.
I am gobsmacked.
You don't do the Instagram, do you?
I am
dabble.
There.
You dabble.
I never post.
You dabble.
I rarely post.
I follow at least three accounts that go, you have been singing this or saying this wrong or whatever,
really?
At least three different ones. And every single time I come out going, oh, wow, yeah, look at that.
This came up because
isn't that something?
I was with my brother this weekend. The song came up. He sang it. I'm like, what the hell did you just say? And it turns out he was right. So we'll get into that a little later on the show. We'll get Matt's thoughts on week one of the NFL preseason. We'll do it both betting and really sports talk radio fashion. But real quick, the administrative work. Not a good weekend for our Tigers, to say the least. And I say our Tigers because we have them most wins in the month of August, but not a good weekend for the Tigers, period. You wanted to at least win two out of three from the White Sox. At the very worst, you wanted to salvage one win yesterday after losing the first two. Guess what? Swept. And the Tigers, not only we take a hit with our August bet, but beyond that, the Tigers all of a sudden go from 2.5 back in the AL Central to 5.5 back. They go from inside the playoff picture to outside the playoff picture in a never-ending American League wildcard race. It's the Padres, by the way, if you're scoring at home, who have the lead now in August with an 11-4 record. They have a one-win lead over the Rays, Phillies, Cubs, and Blue Jays, as you see on the screen. As far as the divisions themselves now, Matt, we have exactly six weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. All of a sudden now, with that sweep, the White Sox of the Tigers, every division except one, the wonderful world of the AL West, where the Astros are, I believe it's a two-game lead, if I'm not mistaken, in the AL West. Everything else is five games or more. Might this be a season where we will be bereft of any pennant chase?
I don't think so.
Not
because
pennant chase, but division race. I'm sorry.
I don't think a lot of these teams are any good. I think we are always live for these five, you know, losing five out of six down the stretch here. I mean, like, 38, 39 games left for a lot of these teams out there. And it seems like if you just look at the raw numbers, you're like, okay, well, this is probably done. But man, how many times have we seen, even out of the almighty Dodgers had that giant skid, right? I mean, like,
I'm not sure they haven't stopped.
Yeah. Skid. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They had a giant skid along the way. Like, I don't know if any of these teams are actually really all that great. I mean, and it's crazy to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to say when you look at the lineups, but man, I think that one of these races, if not two of them, is going to end up, we're going to look up and go, I can't believe we're 11 games left in the season and this thing is within a game of each other.
Could the Dodgers, since you bring them up, could the Dodgers end up, I know we've said, you know, I've advocated not betting them to be the number one seed, but I said all they care about is being the number two seed. Could the Dodgers not get a first round bye?
Yes. No, that is very much in play. Very much in play right now.
Yeah. Dodgers not really nursing. Yeah. That's the thing, though, right? It's to, I mean, Milwaukee, three wins ahead of them, three games ahead of them. Atlanta, a half game better than the Dodgers right now. So that's definitely in play as well. Again, we're just past the quarter pole, just past the third quarter mark of the
Cubs
season.
Have 72 wins. So they're only two wins behind them. So, I mean, the Cubs could overtake the
Brewers. That's right. Remember, best of three, first round, which is what you really want to avoid in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Then it goes to best of five and then best of seven by the time you get to the championship series. Tennis, yesterday, our first really bad day tennis. I went crazy yesterday. I had eight plays in tennis. Not so good. 2-6 on the plays yesterday. It was not a dog kind of day. Up a set and a break in one of them. 50 cents of CLV in another. Neither of those two things mattered. Today, if you want to play some tennis, and it begins here in about an hour, Thiago Agustin Tirante, who took down Novak Djokovic the other day in Novak's opening match of Cincinnati. Cincinnati's the 1,000 that directly precedes the U.S. Open. Now, part of that was, and it's hard to know how much of this was Tirante. Where does Tirante end, and where does Novak's health begin? But Novak was apparently vomiting on the court. The humidity got to him.
Never any good.
Not ideal.
Never any good.
Not optimal. But I'm on Tirante today versus Martin Landaluce, who we won on the other day. Landaluce is a really good hardcore player, but Tirante -134. His numbers are great.
Gil, when we have three-name FAA, we'll say FAA. Can he not be TAT? Can we have Tat? Can he just be Tat?
He could be, but the number of people who would know who that is probably 0.00.
Let's start it. Let's just start it. Yeah, TAT, you know, Tat.
TAT versus Martin Landaluce. We're on TAT. We're on Tirante. And then on the ladies' side, big dog, Clara Towson, +203 versus Linda Noskova. And then Sorana Kirstea, I was surprised by this price, -116 versus Anna Kalinskaya. So it's Tirante, Towson, and Kirstea as we look to bounce back after yesterday's debacle in Cincinnati. As far as the NFL, week one preseason, listen, everybody does reactions, overreactions. I'm curious because you're super locked into this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, I'll just go down a list of some stuff. By the way, Matt and I are going to look at the AL West a little later on the show, the NFC South. We'll go through a couple divisions as well. But I'll just go through these sort of chronologically, beginning with, before the weekend. Drew Aller, Pittsburgh Steelers, let's start there. 10 of 13 for 153, two touchdowns. Also had a touchdown on the ground, so he counted for three touchdowns. Pittsburgh should be excited about their future beyond Aaron Rodgers, yes or no?
I mean, maybe excited about their future this season as well. I mean, like, we're just assuming Aaron Rodgers is still good to go. And honestly, end of the day, I think he looked very washed last year. I mean, I thought he was a shell of what he used to be. And it seems like he wasn't absolutely in control of what his body is able to do still. Like, Aaron Rodgers was, when you and I remember the peak Aaron Rodgers, some of the youngs back there probably don't remember.
Man, was
yes,
he good.
Yes. Yeah. Peak Aaron Rodgers. He had that, like, Patrick Mahomes about him, where it's like he had that escapability, he extended plays. It was, like, never fast, but just sneaky, elusive, and, like, would make the throws. And also, he was getting run down from behind by defensive linemen last year, like nobody's. He's still trying to do the thing that just doesn't, his body won't do.
Looks old.
Anymore, yeah. And so I just wonder if he is still a smart guy, if he looked in the offseason, watched some film, and goes, I gotta get that out of the game. I almost have to self-sack like Brady was doing there for a while. You know, Brady, one of the greatest things about Brady was not only just the talent and everything, the intelligence of going, I'm the slowest guy maybe in the league, so I'm just going to fall down. It saves 2 yards if I don't backpedal.
Here's my question to you about that, though. Do you think, like, how easy will it be for Mike McCarthy if, let's say, Aaron Rodgers does stink it up? By the way, he's 42 years old. He's going to be 43 early December. This just in, not young.
Yes.
How easy or hard, what's the correct way to define this? Will it be for Mike McCarthy if Aaron Rodgers stinks up the joint to say, hey, Aaron, you're done?
Yeah, I think very, very hard. It probably ends up waiting too late for it to matter in the season. But maybe at least you get five games at Aller maybe at the end of the season or something like that, just to give him a little bit of game experience heading into next year. But yes, I agree with you. Too hard.
You bullish on Pittsburgh or bearish this year?
Bearish, big time.
Yeah.
Big, big time.
We've said that before, but
yes, big, big time.
Let's see. Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson, 11 of 14 for 145, did throw a pick, 6 carries for 53 yards, a touchdown, but he did lose a fumble. Kind of what you, kind of the Anthony Richardson experience.
What you would expect from Anthony Richardson, exactly.
Yeah. Jeremiah Love, going back to before the weekend, 11 carries for 58 yards, an average of 5.3 yards per carry, but now we find out he has a high ankle sprain.
This was the most crazy thing to me. 14 touches in the first preseason game for him, because he caught 3 passes as well, and then comes up with a high ankle sprain that, as we know, these things take 3 to 4 weeks to properly heal before you can actually get back out there.
That's right.
And so you nuked him for the rest of the preseason, maybe even game one, maybe even week one of the season. For what? I mean, I this is what I just don't get about some of this stuff. I'm all for starters playing in the preseason to get a couple of reps and stuff, but a guy that you spent this incredibly high draft pick on and you run him out there for 14 touches in the first preseason game?
Yeah.
14 different opportunities for something like this to happen? I don't get it.
You never know that it's going to happen, but it's always a possibility. Yeah. Let me do one more before the break. Dejon Stribling of the Niners, who a lot of people, once Ricky Pearsall, once they figured out, we're going to have to address this knee once and for all. A lot of fantasy people, a lot of rookie of the year voters immediately started betting Dejon Stribling. He did not disappoint. 7 catches, 63 yards.
Yeah, I thought that was a really, really good performance, something that they're going to need. It seems like that they're going to need there for sure. Real quick, just jumping back. I mean, if you guys read the betting guide, I had unders on Jeremiah Love like all over the place and stuff, and that wasn't even because of this injury type of thing. That backfield's crowded, you know, and then now you see this and you see whatever. Wouldn't surprise me if the front office guild goes, hey, let's not run the tires off of this guy, like, you know, in this meaningless season.
We'll go through a bunch more of these. The curious case of the Giants, the Vikings at quarterback, the Browns at quarterback, Rams, Bears, Ravens. We'll get to it all next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Matt, don't forget about the sharp plays.
Yep.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. You can scan the QR code on your screen for more. Sharpplays.com. Check them out. Skill Alexander. That's Matt Brown in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Kelly's on assignment. You'll see what he comes back with. We get tweets of beating the book. Here's exactly what I was talking about. Nemesis Enforcer. On Dart, the fact that Harbaugh let him go back in, there's going to be an O-line whiff for his trumping. He's being political, not me. I'm just telling you, that was a conspiracy. Jakob Ellis at Wapizi Capital. Jakob is responsible for the Todd Wishnev purple image for Wishnev Wednesdays. This is a great question. This hasn't come up in a while. It says, when you were betting baseball heavily back in the day, did you notice your Sunday results differing from any other day of the week? I seem to struggle on Sundays to the point where I'm considering taking that day off. Is there any merit to this? Matt, I don't know about you, but I recall this very vividly, that Sundays were a little squirrely, and I remember having this conversation with Joe Pita. He's convinced as well, and it's because it's not getaway day like Thursday feels like getaway day, but it does feel like, yeah, we're out of town here after this, so let's...
Yeah,
let's roll.
So I'm on air here on Sundays and kind of have to deal with this pretty regularly. And so I give the, you know, full disclaimer. I'm like, listen, there's two things that are at play here. One, it's your typical day off day for a lot of guys. So like, you got to check the lineups too. So
different.
The lineups are always different and stuff. So like, you know, catchers are getting days off and things and stuff like that. And then other is they're all day games except for Sunday night baseball. And most of these dudes are playing night games, and most of these pitchers are creatures of habit, and they have their routines of how they prep for their starts every single time. I wake up at X time, I eat this, I go do this, I take a nap, I whatever, and blah, blah, blah. You can't do that when your game starts in the middle of the day, right? And so I do think that some of that happens with the pitchers as well. You just get off of your schedule And the results vary on Sundays.
And Matt Brown knows this because Matt Brown used to be a pitcher.
Yeah, well, you know.
College-level pitcher.
Back in the back, long, 20-plus, you know.
Ricky Weeks just destroyed a pitch of yours?
Yes. It didn't go, it dented the wall. It didn't.
I sold you short.
Yeah, it dented the wall. Yeah.
My bad.
It almost went through the wall.
Greg Peterson joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, not only someone we delve into with his personal life, but I'm curious your answer to that question about Sunday baseball. Greg, do you find it different than the other days of the week?
This year, my Sundays have actually been quite good. In past years, they've oftentimes been just all over the place. You either have really, really good days or you have really, really bad days with not a lot in between. So that's the way it goes with Sundays, because if you decide to go a little bit contrarian, sometimes that's really good. And then sometimes exactly what you expect, you get none of it whatsoever. So I do feel like with Sundays, it's the day of the most variance because of what you mentioned. The lineups are going to be a little bit different. And some of these pitchers that typically they're rocking and rolling, it's usually the day where they get dinged up a little bit more than normal.
Greg, I try to get through our segments without bringing this up, but if I don't bring it up, inevitably somebody tweets and says, hey, how come you didn't ask about this? All good on the personal front? Things with dating life is good? Playing the field? How would you characterize this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely? Prospects?
Things are great.
I notice you're not writing
about it. We don't need any prospects. Things are very much cemented. All good.
Cemented?
Breaking news.
Wait a minute. We'll explain that before we move on.
Is this the same one from like a month ago?
I'm not out there looking or anything like that. So we are all good.
About a month ago, he said he had a couple of repeats. Is this the same from a month ago?
Yes, very much so.
And they said it wouldn't last.
There we go.
And they said it wouldn't last.
There we go.
Mazel tov, Greg. Hope it gives you all the dreams come true. Looking forward to you writing extensively about this again on Twitter one of these days. Let's get into your Fab Five. Let's start with the Orioles and the Rays. The Rays got out to a ridiculously hot start in this month of August. Still have a nice, comfortable cushion in the AL East with 6 weeks left in the season. They're taking on the O's today, who are now on the inside of the AL playoff picture. Looking out. What do you got here?
And the Orioles trying for a four-game road sweep of the Rays, who had the best record in all of baseball at home entering into the series. I do like the money line here of the Orioles, too. Brandon Young has been very rock solid for them. Now, he does pitch you a lot of contact. 7.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's a big reason why I do like the over here. Flip side for the Rays, you have to wonder what you're going to get out of Shane McClanahan. This is going to be his first start here in the month of August. Last time he pitched was on July 30th, and what he's been out there has been rock solid. He's been able to give you an ERA right around about a 3.08, fielding independent, relatively in line with that, only giving up right around about 0.7, 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. But another guy that pitches to a lot of contact in his one minor league rehab start, only went 3 innings. Question mark with how deep he's going to be able to go, especially with Freddie Peralta not throwing a full 5 innings. I think that leaves you in very good shape for the over. So I'm going to be looking there. And on top of that, I like the Orioles at plus money again here on the money line.
Greg, you know I like to fight with you when it comes to baseball. I like to find something that I'm on the opposite side of. And I can't do it here because I am also on the Braves today against the Twins on the road over there. Tell us why. I'll tell everybody else later why I like it.
Absolutely. And Martin Perez is doing for some regression. So I did take the over overnight as well when this was 8.5. He's got 2.96 ERA and a 4.19 fielding independent. But even though I think Martin Perez is going to regress, man, it's not been great for Bailey Ober this year. Career low 6.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. And then you've got the better bullpen on the side of the Atlanta Braves. Number two in terms of bullpen ERA in the National League. The Dillons, Dylan Lee, Dylan Dodd have been solid. And while the Twins revamped things with bringing in AJ Minter, Jeff Hoffman at the trade deadline for their bullpen, yeah, it's still been very shaky. Bottom eight in terms of ERA. Byron Buxton is coming off the injury list, has not been himself. And initially for the Atlanta Braves, they continue to be a top eight offense in terms of run production. So I took a shot on the over. And with the Braves, was finding them minus 120 overnight, still seeing quite a few minus 125s. I like them on the money line.
Padres and Mets, Greg, both teams playing good baseball, especially the Padres. As I mentioned earlier, 11-4 in this month of August. Padres, though, still probably not going to get the division. Still a big deficit to the Dodgers, though it's dwindling a little bit here of late. Really more important for them, the wild card situation, where they are currently in, but with only a one-game lead over the Diamondbacks. Mets are a slight favorite in this game. How are you playing it?
And how about the Mets trying to play spoiler all of a sudden? Like, Juan Soto goes down, and when he went down, team was averaging only 4.05 runs per game. Since he went down with an injury, they're averaging closer to 4.85 runs per game. They've been better in 21 games without Juan Soto than they were with him. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but hey, you know what? The Mets are rolling. Noel McLean, in my opinion, is a better starter here. Now, he does post up a 4.15 ERA at home compared to about a 2.80 ERA away from home. So that puts me on the over of 8, but he's a better pitcher here, in my opinion, compared to Walker Buehler, who's been posting up a 4.88 ERA, fielding independent points towards positivity, but he's had his issues away from home, posting up an ERA about a 5.47 for the Padres. They do have the better bullpen. When you're able to go to all these guys like Mason Miller and company, that does help out. And I will say this for the Padres, averaging about 5.3 runs per game since the All-Star break, top five mark in all of baseball. Like the over, and give me the better pitcher here with McLean on the money line.
Let's talk about my White Sox here. Already cashed that ticket. The over on the wins for the season. Nice. I have a 70-plus on them as well at a little over 2-1. So let's hope let's get to 70 here, White Sox. What do you like today in that one?
And they are going to get over 70. I can tell you that. And I do think that they present some value here on the money line because Luis Castillo, love what I saw from him in his last start. Overall for the season, about a 4.95 ERA. The overall numbers are not amazing, but 10 punch outs in that start against the Reds. Flip side, you do have a guy in Shohei Minaga that has given up the deep ball quite a bit. 1.8 home runs per 9 innings overall for the season. Last 14 starts, closer to 2.2, 2.3 home runs per 9 innings, but wind should be blowing in a little bit at Wrigley Field. Now, as the night goes along, the wind is probably going to be dying down just a little bit, but I do think that the ball stays in the yard here. And for the White Sox, they have been a very good bullpen recently. Since June 1st, they've been a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Right now, we're seeing that total at an 8. I was able to grab an 8.5, but even at an 8, do like the under and the White Sox at plus money on the money line.
All right. They're still the team that everybody thinks will win the World Series, I guess. But the Dodgers have hit the skids in a big way here. They're at the Rockies. They're at Coors. They're huge favorites, $2.50. But you like the Rockies on the run line here.
And we're going with the hottest pitcher in terms of making you money in all of baseball. If you bet $100 on Tomoyuki Sugano this year, every single start that he's went out there for the Rockies, you're up $1,436. The most profitable pitcher in all of baseball. I'm not willing to go money line here, but I took a run and a half. Sugano at home, a 3.93 ERA, 1.5 home runs allowed per 9 innings. That's down from more around 1.8, 1.9 home runs overall for the season. And Blake Snell, really nice first start off the injury list for the Dodgers. Need to see a little bit more before I can really believe in the Dodgers being this big of a plus price. I took the under, and I took the Rockies at a run and a half at plus 140.
And who hasn't bet $100 on Tomoyuki Sugano every time
every single time
on the hill?
Exactly.
Mark Borchardt.
Look at that smile. That's only a smile from a guy that's been with the same girl for a month. You see that? Look at that smile by Greg.
Greg, you're the best. Thank you. Appreciate it. Greg Peterson, everybody.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. GUnit underscore 81. We'll talk some AFC West and the lyrical conundrum.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not forget that our college football betting guide is out, shepherded by the great Adam Burke. Our pro guide includes, or I should say our college football betting guide includes, Matt Eumanns' preseason top 50, previews for all 138 FBS teams, best bets, conference champs from hosts and experts. You'd sign them now for as little as $9.99. By the way, VSiN Pro subscription also gets you the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, and all of the above. But again, just $9.99 or lock in a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We've said it before, of all of our betting guides, whether that's your favorite or not, it certainly feels like it's the most important.
It's the one that you're going to get the most out of.
Yeah.
Because you can't follow all these moves and you can't. You don't. I bet you people didn't even know how many teams were in the FBS, much less that all these teams were changing conferences and all the things like that. I mean, it's too hard.
The Mountain West and the Pac-12, yeah. completely different. I want to bring in my next guest before I read the tweets, because all the tweets are in response to what I asked you earlier. Wes Reynolds joins us now. And Wes, by the way, not only part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, but Wes is a bit of a musical savant, a musicologist. Can I call you that, Wes? Is that allowed? Is that permitted?
Musicologist. I like that title. Yeah. Yes.
Science of music. All right. In the 1982 Clash hit, Rock the Casbah, who in the chorus, quote, don't like it? Who don't like it?
Sharif don't like it.
He knows
Thinks
too.
It's not kosher.
Yeah. He knows too. And by the way, it makes complete sense. For 44 years, I thought it was Charlene. We get tweets, Chris Heath, Sharif, Ryan Hyatt. Great. Regarding misunderstood song lyrics, next thing you know, Gil and Matt are going to tell us Steve Miller didn't sing Big Old Jed Had the Lineup. I don't know that. Todd Sailhoff, always thought and sang She Really Don't Like It. Figured the Clash wanted you to just put your own spin on it as who you are thinking about. Spence, they made up Sharif based on Iranian hardline leaders because they didn't like rock music in the early 80s. Sharif is in the video too. Yeah, no, makes complete sense. And Easy Breezy, of course it's Sharif from the Clash. Props to your bro for recalling the liner notes with lyrics. The Clash were one of the few at the time that included lyric sheets with the album. I'm flabbergasted. I'm amazed that everybody here on Twitter, we're getting a way higher hit rate on Twitter than with all my friends who almost to a man, I think I have one person who knew it besides my brother. 8 out of 9 others said no idea.
Ryan referring to the Jet Airliner song, Big Old Jet Airliner.
Oh,
Big
Old Jet what did I say?
No, he was saying that people
because
he's saying that people got
it,
not getting the lyrics correct.
Wes,
well, to get like triple the tweets, you'll need to do the Manfred Mann Blinded by the Light always confused lyric
wrapped
up like a deuce.
That's right.
The yes. other thing.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes,
wrapped up like a deuce. Then Jimmy Buffett had a salt and pepper shaker or something like that. There was another thing there. Wes, Scotty Scheffler, did you have him this weekend?
I did not, but had the foresight.
Yeah,
I
buddy.
I had the foresight, or I've tried this several times before, hadn't worked, but went in the winner without market because we on Long Shots thought, okay, this guy's probably going to win this tournament. You know, he's coming close to winning. He's not played poorly. He just hadn't won since like late January. So, yeah. We had some interest in the end. If you didn't have Scotty Scheffler, who was going to get second place, and it was Siwoo Kim, fortunately, that cashed at 25-1 in the winner without market. So it was a race between him and Sam Burns and a couple others up there. And Siwoo Kim gets outright second, 8 shots back.
Now, why were you clapping like that when he said he didn't have?
Because it was Kelly and I both had Sam Burns.
Yeah.
If my guy was not going to win, I needed the collapse so at least Wes's guy could get second. And Sam Burns goes out and bogeys 18 to give Wes the outright second in this, so he didn't have to chop it up with Sam Burns. It was great. I'm sitting there rooting for my guy that I had this ticket on to bogey this hole. I'm like, come on, man. Like, come on. You've been playing terrible all day long. Continue playing terrible.
For those who missed it, Scotty Scheffler hadn't won since January at the American Express. We had made a big deal about it on this show that he hadn't won. But he closed with a 4-under-66 for an 8-shot victory. Man, when he finally won, he won big. It got a little dicey early yesterday, but the largest margin in 68 years of the TPC Southwind. He had a 61, by the way, in the second round. That helped a tad. But it's the 11th straight time he converted a 54-hole lead into a win, the 21st victory of his career, all since 2022. Just going through his career stats here. Ends nearly 7 months without a title during a season that featured 5 runner-up finishes in nearly 7 months of close calls. Oh, by the way, he wins $3.6 million from the prize fund and clinched an additional $23 million in bonus money for being guaranteed number one in the FedEx Cup through next week's BMW Championship. And now, 2 victories, 5 runner-up finishes, 5 other top fours in another stellar year that until yesterday was marked by his lack of winning. I'll just throw it out to you guys. Where is his place now in sort of modern history of golf or the whole history of golf?
clear best player in the world, I think, right now. And, you know, the comparisons to Tiger, I think, get really a little bit much. There's just no comparison for what he did. But one thing that is similar is that both of those players mentioned are great front runners. And you saw it this weekend. I was on with Matt on Saturday on Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. And I was like, man, this guy's such a good front runner. You know, it's not over, but boy, it feels close. And he proved to be a great front runner, to be the only guy double digits under par and 17 under and win by eight. So he's the clear best player. And we were talking about the fact that player of the year is kind of still up for grabs because it's not been as convincing as it's been in years past. But he's the player of the year, as far as I'm concerned, even with no major championship. He's been the best player. The stats are all there. He's like number one tee to green, number one strokes gained total, high up off the tee, high in putting, high in approach, like every major strokes gained statistical category. He is up there near the top of the heap. So I think maybe Sunday made it very clear that he's the favorite for player of the year after that dominating performance.
I'm a little more okay with the Tiger comparisons because of the depth of the fields that he's going up against each and every week. Like, Tiger teed it up against four or five other guys every week. This guy's teeing it up against 35 guys every week. Like, they can actually go out and really contend and win on any tournament, any course, any layout, any anything. And he just continues to, I mean, you mentioned the outright second, 11 top fives. I mean, like, 11 top fives over the course of the season as well. Yeah. So it doesn't matter the course. It doesn't matter the playing conditions. It doesn't matter what it is. 11 top fives.
I say that about tennis, too. Like, if you take women's tennis, Chrissy and Martina, right? They were so much better than most other players. Maybe there was, like, two or three other players that could compete. And now it's you're beating 15 to 20 other girls when you win these tournaments. So it's akin to that. Wes, long shots. Wes, Matt, Kelly, tomorrow again? Or is Kelly off this week?
No, Kelly's donezo.
Kelly's off this week. Long shots.
Fired.
I suspended him for this week. You could scan the QR code on your screen for more if you want to download and subscribe to Long Shots, the greatest golf podcast there ever was. Wes, you have a baseball play for us today at the Great American Small Park in Cincinnati. What do you got?
I do. And speaking of St. Louis, where the BMW Championship will be this week at Bellerive, the Redbirds take on the road. It is a doubleheader there in Cincinnati. And I went in the first game, I went with Quinn Matthews, who is not a regular starter in the rotation, but went 97 pitches last time around. And he's up against the Reds team, my Cincinnati Reds, who are dead last in WRC plus against left-handed pitchers. So it's not like Matthews is a high-end starter, but it's 13 and a half outs. That means basically you're trying to get him to go five. And that's what I think the plan is there, because you never want to use your bullpen as much in the first game. If you watch the rare instances where we have doubleheaders, you're always trying to extend that, unless it's a designated bullpen game. You're always trying to stretch that starter as far as you can because you know you've got him at night and you've got another game. So Quinn Matthews over the outs here as the Reds continue to play horrible and have now pretty much fallen out of the NL wildcard race.
Mm. This comes up, so I just want to put you on the spot here, Wes. The Dodgers in it's a swoon. It's an out and out swoon here. But we always sort of figure, right, in previous years, and it worked out last year, yeah, they don't have to be the number one seed. They only care about the playoffs. They'll win the World Series, no problem. Does this feel different to you? Does this feel like this is a little harder to actually right the ship from, and maybe we should slow the roll on just penciling them in to a World Series appearance and title, especially if they don't avoid the first round?
Yeah, I think it very well could be different, Gil, because it's not just one thing. Like, it's easy to point at Edwin Diaz and, you know, how sketchy he has been in the closer role lately, but they're not hitting. They're flat out not hitting at all. They made all these moves, obviously, to shore up the starting pitching staff with Skubal and, you know, able to move Sheehan and Robleski eventually out into kind of middle relief, but they're not hitting at all. And Dave Roberts finally like called him out after the game yesterday.
Yes.
So we'll see if they get the bat rights at Coors Canaveral here in this three game set.
And you were saying, Matt, off air, Kyle Tucker is literally not hitting at
all. Yes. Over his last 19.
Yes. Literally not hitting at all. Wes, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
You got it, fellas. Thank you.
The musicologist, Wes Reynolds, right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt's got some baseball plays today. That's next. Coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, indeed. Our VSiN Pro intro offer remains. Week zero of college football almost here with the NFL regular season right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Shrek McPhee has tweeted and he goes, seems like this isn't getting enough attention, Gil. CMC has missed his seventh consecutive practice with, quote, tightness, unquote. 2024 vibes, he says. Substation. Every time. Substation.
Yep.
Gotta be it. Paul Morphy. Not Murphy. Morphy. It was absolutely, she don't like it. Must have been a clean version released in the South. As opposed to Sharif. Talking about the clashes.
Clashes,
right. Rock the Casbah. Jeremiah Crow over at The Wind says, Electric Light Orchestra, Don't Bring Me Down. That the actual word is Gruz that they say in that song. A made-up word. People think it's Bruce.
Ah.
A lot of those, man.
We just said a few that were just dumb.
Yeah. Some of these are not worth repeating. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's as ornery as ever because he thinks I'm going to talk schmack about his Guardians. It's Adam Burke, the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him at Twitter or on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Adam, good morning, sir.
Hey, what's happening, boys? How we doing?
We're doing very well. Listen, I only had to wait a year and three quarters for the Guardians to finally have a swoon. You hate this team, don't you? Tell them.
They're a remarkably hard watch. And honestly, I was thinking about it today. I think the worst thing about this season is how bad Travis Pizzano looks at the plate.
You
can't get 1-1 wrong. You just can't do it. And there's tons of development time left for him. But based on kind of the guys who were taken around him and based on how he looks here so far, the Guardians may have made the wrong pick there. And when you get gifted that spot as a team that doesn't spend any money whatsoever, you can't get that one wrong. And man, his baseball savant page does not look good.
Does not look good. You have a prop. Let's get to your picks first. You got a prop in this Marlins Phillies game?
Yeah, this one's actually gotten a little bit better since I wrote this one up here this morning. It's Jansen Junk of the Marlins over 1.5 walks allowed. This one's up out to +159 now. DraftKings, it was +151 when I wrote it up here this morning. Look, he's a guy who doesn't walk a whole lot of people, so it's understandable that this one's at plus money. But in six starts since coming off the IL, he has walked 2+ guys in three of them. So 50% hit rate on this one right now. But look, you got Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, all well above average walk rates against right-handed pitching. A guy who has a higher walk rate on the road, higher walk rate against left-handed batters on the road. You know, he just has a little bit more of a safety net at Lone Depot Park when he's pitching at home. I think maybe he nibbles a little bit here tonight. His zone percentage is down 4% on the road compared to at home. Going to be humid tonight in Philadelphia. Maybe some grip issues on the baseball. I think this one's worth a shot here tonight. Jansen Junk of the Marlins over 1.5 walks allowed. Now out to +159 out there at DraftKings.
We got a doubleheader today between the Cardinals and the Reds. Both teams, by the way, playing 8 games this week. So 8 game weeks for both of the Cardinals and the Reds. You are looking at the second game of the doubleheader.
Yeah, I typically don't like to play game two so far in advance because you never know what happens in game one, right? You don't know who's going to get hurt, what the bullpen usage may look like, stuff like that. But I wanted to jump on this one. This is a line that's actually gotten a little bit better, moved against me as well here with Andre Pallant on the mound for the Cardinals tonight, Rhett Lauder going for the Reds. Couple of things here. I mean, this is largely anecdotal. I don't have any evidence to support this, but I would think it's easier to play a day-night doubleheader as the road team because – what would you be doing anyway, right? You'd just kind of be chilling in the hotel or getting to the ballpark early or something like that. So I think a long day like this kind of favors the away team a little bit because the home team, you know, you got all the familial obligations when you're playing at home and stuff like that. But also, I just think big pitching advantage for the Cardinals in this game tonight. This is not the kind of guy that you want to face in Pallant in the second game of a doubleheader. Pitch to contact guy, very extreme ground ball rate, elite defensive team behind him. It's hard to string hits together after a long day. And that's what the Reds are going to be asked to do here tonight. Not to mention, I mean, the Cardinals should just be more engaged, right? I mean, you know, they're in the wild card hunt, 3.5 back starting play today. The Reds are 7 back, you know, run differential in the minus 80s. They're just not a very good baseball team. So I like the Cardinals here tonight. I don't really believe in Lauder's recent run here. Still has a double digit barrel rate over his last 4 starts, despite allowing only 2 earned runs in all 4 of them. Not really a big fan of him. And I just think, you know, the Cardinals have a deeper bullpen as well. You know, when you look at the context of a doubleheader. So I went ahead and took Arizona here, or excuse me, St. Louis here today in game 2 of this doubleheader in Cincinnati.
Adam Fenway, we have an interleague game between the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox. Red Sox famously won 27 of 30. Since then, they have lost 7 of 9. Ah, baseball, we love you. Diamondbacks, 1 game out, speaking of the wild card race in the NL, 1 game out on the outside looking in. What do you got today in this one?
Yeah, I'll lay it today with the Red Sox. I mean, I've never seen anything like the season that Brian Baio has had here for the Red Sox. 10.35 ERA as a starter and 35 2/3 and 48 innings as a reliever, pitching in bulk relief, a 0.75 ERA.
That's amazing.
So I don't know like what the deal is with relieving for him, but he's certainly been much better in that role than he has been as a starter. Alec Gamboa is going to open here today for the Red Sox, but he's not like a traditional opener. He can actually go multiples if you want him to. So it's kind of a piggyback-ish type of situation here, you know, for the Red Sox. Arizona, another team that, you know, doesn't have a super, super high payroll. They love to use platoons and stuff like that. An opener kind of derails that a little bit with the lefty Gamboa, the righty and Bayo. But also, Mitch Pratt is staring down the barrel of a lot of negative regression here. This is a guy who does not have good strikeout to walk ratios, pitches to contact, doesn't miss a whole lot of bats. When he's not missing bats, he's missing the strike zone or hitting, you know, the meaty part of the bat. So I guess it's a good spot for the Red Sox to kind of bounce back a little bit here offensively against a guy that is going to a very good hitter's park. Not that Chase Field isn't, but, you know, climate controlled and all those kinds of things. For a guy who already has control and command issues, now going and pitching outdoors in a historically great offensive venue, I think it's a pretty tough spot here for Brat. So I went ahead and laid this number with the Red Sox here today, up in that minus 135, minus 140 range.
Adam, you, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, I didn't want to switch gears. So if you have a baseball question, go.
No, right, no,
it's football. I was going to say, good to have you on as the proprietor here of our college football guide, as the AP poll has dropped, Gil.
Oh.
Our first AP poll, because, you know, we know how good these teams are before they've ever played a snap.
Very exciting.
Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, your top 5. 40 first place votes for Ohio State, 14 for Oregon, none for Georgia, 6 for Notre Dame. You get to 6th where Indiana is. They get 8 first place votes, but finish at 6th there in the poll to round out the top 10, Miami, A&M, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. So we get first place votes for Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Indiana, Miami gets a first place vote as well. What do you think of preseason polls, buddy?
I think that, you know, it's kind of interesting to get sort of a lay of the land of what kind of the masses may end up thinking. You know, we know the people who take sports betting seriously and, you know, people who listen to us, people who follow us, people who work for us. We know the polls are pretty irrelevant. You know, they don't really matter, but they do matter to some people out there, kind of the more casual sports bettors. So maybe they will get kind of fooled at times into thinking the teams are better than they're going to be or something like that. I have Ohio State number 1 in the country by a half a point in my power ratings, Notre Dame number 2, Oregon number 3, Indiana 4, Georgia 5, tied with Texas. So, you know, that's kind of my top 5 here. But again, like you said, I mean, there's so much turnover in college football, and really it's all about how quickly these teams can gel, you know, if there's not a lot of continuity year in and year out. And that can be a really, really hard thing. I mean, Indiana historic season lost a lot of production, a lot of really, really talented players. Then that's a program that's not really used to doing that. Ohio State is used to doing that. They're never surprised when they lose a bunch of top guys. they kind of bring back a lot more than you would think an Ohio State team would. So I get it. I understand the hype. I personally don't think Ohio State is going to wind up winning the Big Ten. But, you know, again, these polls are, they're going to change a lot over the first few weeks of the season for sure.
Do you have a Heisman thought or play for us, Adam, before the season starts?
You know, that's something I'm still kind of digging into. It's a market that, you know, obviously there's a lot of hype based on the guys who are coming back and maybe a lot less hype about the guys that we maybe don't know a whole lot about yet. And those are kind of the guys I like to look at, kind of the long shot prices that may get better as the season goes along, as opposed to, you know, holding my money for 6 months on a, you know, guy who's in the 7-1 range, something like that.
Yeah. CJ Carr of Notre Dame, the short shot heading into the season at 7-1. There's Arch. Arch Manning of Texas plus 750, Dante Moore of Oregon 11-1, and Darian Mentz of Miami at plus 1150. Everybody else 12-1 or longer, starting with Julian Sain, and there's Trinidad Chambliss hanging out at 13-1. Interesting thought there. Josh Hoover, of course, quarterbacking Indiana, also at 13-1 this season. Adam, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, boys.
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripod. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here.